Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang. I think we've got a really exciting show today. We're going to be talking to Mike and Ann Howard of Honey Trek. You can find out all about Honey Trek December 8th at the Smithsonian Associates Program. This one's going to be at the Hirshhorn Museum and Sculpture Garden. And again, that's December 8th at 6:45. Mike and Ann run the website and the travel experience called Honey Trek, and that's honeytrek.com. I just think they have a great attitude for all of this. They believe that life's short, the world is big, and the value of travel is too great not to wait. So for all of my audience of the Not Old Better Show, enjoy this program. I think you really will love this couple. They are exciting people. They've divided up kind of their responsibilities in terms of the business that they run. They just have this wonderful relationship, and they're going to give us some fantastic resources that we can use to learn more about how to travel, why to travel, and do so really on any budget. So enjoy today's program. Well, we are with Mike and Ann Howard of Honey Trek. Mike, Ann, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you guys. And you guys are here in the U.S. for just a little bit of time because you're world travelers, and we're going to get into that. But first, I kind of like to go back to just the start of who it is that I'm talking to. And because I'm talking to this great couple, Mike and Ann Howard, tell our audience a little bit about Honey Trek. When and why did it begin?
Well, we were engaged, and you go on a honeymoon once you get married, and we had this moment where we're writing down the places we wanted to see in the world. The list was out the door long, and we kind of had this moment like, when are we going to get to all these places? Like, these 10-day vacations are not adding up to ticking all these things off the list. Actually, yeah, we just had this moment of going, you know, life is short, and we're young, and we're healthy, and what better time than now? And hey, a honeymoon sounds like a good excuse. Why don't we have that be the launch pad to a trip around the world?
And it started out going to be a one-year honeymoon. We figured that was a nice lofty goal to get out there. And then we just got addicted to life on the road and sharing it with people. And our website started to get some acclaim and pick up. And here we are now, 5 years later and still on the road.
I've looked at the website, I've been to the Facebook page, I've checked out all of the details about you guys. We'll have links to everything too. I noticed on one of your Facebook posts recently, this was a little bit of outreach, almost a question to your Facebook fans to share a little bit of an act of kindness that they'd experienced anywhere in the world. So I took from that this really wasn't just traveling willy-nilly. You're kind of on a little bit of a mission, maybe. How is it that you kind of find we're learning, and how are you guys learning about the world and it through all of this travel that you're doing?
Well, I mean, it just opens like such an emotional, like actually like kind of a little bit tearing up, you know, especially with the events of this week and just thinking about how travel can change people's minds and kind of our trip. Like a lot of people who do a big trip, or even just people who pick their next destination to go, you kind of do it through photos, or you hear of a bucket list item that your friend has, or you read in a book a destination that you should go to, and you kind of put that destination as the reason for your trip, is to make it to that destination and get that one photo, you know, it's a selfie for Facebook or just a photo for your scrapbook. And that's kind of how most trips start, and that's definitely how our around the world trip started, was a list of, like Ann said, you know, a whole 8x10 of all the places we wanted to go to, and check those bucket list items off and go on to the next one and check that one off. And, you know, whether it's the Leaning Tower of Pisa or the Great Wall of China or scuba dive the Barrier Reef, you know, partway through our trip. And I think the main reason that 5 years later we're still on, you know, this trip is those destinations become secondary to all the beautiful people and the stories and the meals and the interactions and getting lost, you know, on backcountry roads, whether it's in the States or in Indonesia. Like, that beauty and the people you meet and the kindness and those smiles, is it just becomes it's addictive. I mean, it becomes that we want to share that with people. We want to get people, you know, maybe out of their comfort zone a little bit and focusing on all that beauty that's out there.
Yeah. And that there's that the biggest takeaway, I think, was how much good there is in the world. And it's sometimes really hard to believe that when the news is, you know, flashing murder and war, and it just makes you want to hide in your home more likely than go explore the world. But I mean, we put it out there every single day, and we were never robbed. We were never hurt. The volume of kindness we received was humbling. I mean, we hitchhiked and took local minivans all through Africa, things that people were like, are you crazy? You're gonna go overland from, you know, Cape Town to Kenya?
For
100 days we did this, and were taken in by families, and just had just priceless encounters that people would maybe be scared to do. But I mean, if we're living proof that if you go out there with a smile and an open mind, kindness will come back to you.
Well, you've both used this word kindness, and I like that. I think that there is a lot of good in the world. I think, Anne, you said that, and I think that right now we do need to learn and discover about each other. What have you guys learned and discovered about each other through this process? Because this was kind of a honeymoon trip for you that began initially, and now it's really so much more. But I imagine the depth of the discovery process has been great for the two of you.
I mean, we feel like travel is the greatest bonding experience you could ever have. We are, you know, in marriage, you're a team, but when you take it to the level of, you know, almost stripping it down to your basic necessities every day, where are you going to sleep? Where are you, what are you eating? Where are you finding a roof over your head? We have to find this every day together, and we only have each other. I mean, amongst language barriers and really being thousands and thousands of miles from family and friends, like, we are this incredible family of two.
And it's almost like you become fused, like you truly become one person. I mean, you each have your own personality still and your own skill sets, which we definitely learned to harness as we run Honey Trek, like, which is our full-time business now. But at the same time, there's this very unique situation. I mean, because we spend 24 hours a day together, we do all our fun stuff together, we do all our work together, and we become, you know, even more joined or powerful. And it's kind of a unique situation. But I mean, I just love the feeling of like being one person and just traveling, just kind of flowing in this stream together, and not, you know, I mean, everyone thinks like, oh, you're together 24 hours a day, like you must be fighting about this, and how do you not battle about everything? And I would like tear my husband's hair out if I was with him 24 hours a day. But for us, like, it doesn't even cross our mind. Like, we barely fight about things. It's just because we know we're like in this, like I was saying, we're kind of flowing down this same river together. And it's been a wonderful experience. And as Anne said, like, now we just want to get more people doing it, whether it's on, you know, a couple week trips or a couple month trips, just to feel that experience together of being vulnerable, being out there in the world, and just realizing that you can conquer these things together.
We are with Mike and Anne Howard of Honey Trek. Mike and Anne are going to be at the Smithsonian Associates program December 8th. The name of their presentation is Travel Hacking 101, How to Travel Longer for Less. I love that idea, guys. So tell us a little bit about travel hacking.
The biggest thing people ask us when they see how long we're traveling is like, wow, how, you know, I wish I could afford that. Like, I wish I was, you know, independently wealthy. Or how do you afford that? Like, I can barely go on a 2-week vacation, let alone travel for 52 weeks a year. Like, it really kind of blows their mind because they're used to the traditional way of travel, which is you work hard for 50 weeks of the year and you save up all your money and your vacation time. And then you have 10, if you're lucky, 14-day trip, and you want everything to go perfectly. So you book everything in advance from your cubicle or your home office, and you book your cabs and your flights and your fancy hotels and your excursions, because you're trying to pack all of these things you want to do into a 10-day trip. So, and you're booking it through services from the States, so there's a huge markup there. And so you're used to these trips that cost $2,000-$3,000 for a trip, and it kind of blows people's mind when they hear that we're traveling for a very small fraction of that price. And that's where kind of travel hacking comes in. So it's the idea of using the tools that are out there for travelers that people have heard of, and they know the concept of, you know, something like Airbnb and frequent flyer miles and, you know, homestays and woofing and like all these different ways to travel. And we use those tricks, and we spend a fair amount of time doing things like frequent flyer mile, you know, collecting. And then we use those assets that we have to travel for incredibly low amounts. Like I did our budget actually a couple weeks ago when we were over in Croatia, because we've been doing a fair amount of house sitting lately. And we've done in the last, I'll just throw out some numbers of our actual budget. In the last, since May actually, May through November of this year, we've been to 8 different countries through Central America, North America, and Eastern and Western Europe. So we've been to 8 countries over 175 days. And our budget between the two of us for flights, lodging, food, and excursions is $2,125. We're looking at around $15 a day for the two of us. And that's because every single flight we've done from the US to Mexico, our flight down to Costa Rica, our flight to Portugal, our flight to Hungary, Croatia, and then back to Mexico, all were done on frequent flyer miles. So that is, you know, a huge barrier to people is, how can I afford the flight? How can I afford the hotels for that much time? But when you use a little bit of travel hacking, like these tools that are out there to your advantage, and you spend a little time and energy on collecting those things and learning how to use those tools, travel can be even, you know, even cheaper than just sitting at home in your apartment and watching the TV.
And on December 8th, you're going to tell us a little bit about how we can develop some of these same kind of travel hacking techniques, right? You're going to share with us some of those resources and give us a sense as to what the possibilities are, right?
Absolutely. And it's some of it's just reframing how you think about travel too. You know, so some of these are tools that will that are sharing websites and resources. We're going to try and have it be as, you know, service oriented and resource heavy as we can. But also it's a way of thinking about travel. It's, I feel like we are so ingrained to, you know, go to Western Europe and, you know, go to the Caribbean. And we have these sort of like set destinations. The world is huge with so many amazing places to go that are affordable. So some of it is how we can tell you how to make even, you know, the Norways and Japans of the world be reasonable. But it's also about, you know, picking places that are going to make it easier to live well. I mean, you think we were living in squalor at that budget, but, you know, we were staying in, wow, we were staying in a beach house on the Mediterranean coast in Croatia. During that time, we were taking care of a 4-acre farm in the Portuguese countryside. And, you know, we're not scraping by backpacker style. You know, there's just a way to rethink about travel that's not marketed to people. And we're excited to share that.
I think, Mike, it was you, and I saw this on the website, the notion of kind of volunteer travel. And I think, Mike, you mentioned this term, woofing. Maybe you could give us a definition of what woofing is, but I think my audience is going to be really interested in this idea of volunteer travel. Woofing is an interesting term, so tell us about that.
Mike's going to share his favorite one after this, but I'll address woofing first.
I love woofing.
Oh, we love woofing. So it stands for Willing Workers on Organic Farms.
Got it. And so it's WWOOF rather than...
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, good. Thanks.
And, you know, we initially started it, it's this idea where it's a global network of farms, where small family farms, where they open up their properties, their homes, their lives, and they share the skills of, you know, hey, do you want to learn about, you know, growing daikon and tomatoes in Japan? And, you know, us as travelers, do we want to live at the foot of this volcano with natural hot springs, eat, you know, homemade Japanese food and learn more about the culture? Yes. So everybody wins. There's no money exchanged. Yeah. So it was 4 hours a day of, I mean, it's very place to place, but ours was really light work. And we learned a ton. The work was fun. We would wake up and harvest vegetables and cook together as a family and sit around the table and chat and then go back out and do a few more things. And then, you know, all relax together in the evenings. And that Japan is a very expensive country. And we thought, we're going to move somewhere in the world. Why not we start with a place that's a little prohibitively expensive? But so it became initially as a way to save costs. But we realized that the cultural value was so much greater that we would have even paid for it if we had to. But that's the idea. It's this goodwill where no money has to be exchanged because everybody's winning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's experiences that you, no matter if you go on a tour with Abercrombie and Kent or, you know, the most budget, you know, backpacker tour, you're not going to get that true, authentic experience as you get when you trade your services with, you know, a Japanese farmer or a Portuguese farmer. Like there's a certain connection there that you have with them, and they're, if you're willing to put in a little time and energy to help them, they're going to put it in, you know, tenfold back to you to teach you about their culture and their language. And it's just, it's such a beautiful way to see. And I think people who might, you know, think, oh, I don't want to go on my vacation and work on a farm, like maybe at home I already, you know, put in enough time, I just want to go relax. But if you're looking for that, like that cultural connection with a place, I mean, there's just no better way than living with a family who's working there, and you're helping them and they're helping you. And it's Wuping is truly a beautiful thing that, and it's, like I said, it's in almost every country in the world. There's at least 150 countries around the world that have Wuping. So wherever you dream to go, there's Wuping opportunities there, and you arrange it all in advance.
And it can be as short as 5 days. You know, they can also be as long as 6 months. So it's, you could still say woof for a week and then, you know, do your normal sightseeing after that.
And then, as Anne alluded earlier, I've got another site that I'm really jazzed on right now. And we actually, Honeytrek, partnered up with them to try and expose them to more of the travel audience. But when you're talking about making a difference and wanting to, you know, just make the world a better place and use your skills to, you know, to better the world, there's an organization called Moving Worlds. So it's movingworlds.org is their website. And they will connect skilled travelers. So they're looking for more than just somebody who wants to swing a hammer or, you know, read a book to a child, which are both wonderful things when people want to go and do those. But Moving World really wants to connect people with skills, whether that you're an accountant or a nurse or a marketing person or you know how to do podcasts. Well, they're going to connect you with whatever skills you have. It's a very interesting website. You go on there and you put on all the skills that you have and all the countries that you want to go to. And either they have them on their website or they'll reach out to their organizations and find either an NGO or a benefit corporation around the world in the destination of your choice for the length of time that you want to stay. And they'll pair you up with, you know, opportunities where you don't actually have to pay. Like there's so many volunteering where you need to pay $500, $800 a week to go and volunteer at an orphanage because they're using that money to support the orphanage. But with this organization, you don't pay anything. Oftentimes they'll even pay for your lodging and food while you're there. And they just want people with skills and passion that want to make a difference. So if anybody's looking for something, you know, maybe a little more fulfilling, and like those things can also be anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 or 3 months long, even a year long, some of these engagements. But they don't have to be too heavy, but they're really focused on making a lasting change in these countries. And they're a really up-and-coming organization out of Seattle. And I strongly recommend if anyone's looking to make a change and also...
Because especially your audience, they're 55 plus is your main audience. You all have had careers of some kind. You have skills. That is so valuable to share your professional expertise more so than your physical strength in building something, which is very likely, is a very common scenario of like build a house and that type of thing.
And those skills can be anything. You don't need to be a doctor or an engineer to help. You can just know how to use Excel well or know how to put together PowerPoints that you do at work or how to organize certain accounting systems or whatever it is that you do. There are organizations out there that are dying for your skills.
In some place fabulous, like Buenos Aires or, you know, Japan, anywhere.
Yep.
That's so really great. So tell us again the name of that organization, its website.
That one's movingworlds.org, yeah.
Great.
movingworlds.org.
I think that's such a nice idea, too. We'll put a link to that website as well, along with all of your contact details. I know we are all looking forward to your presentation on December 8th. Mike and Ann Howard, it has just been wonderful to talk to you. Your resources are going to be fabulous. Your website is really great too. And it's so nice to meet you both. Really, congratulations on what you're doing on this this travel experience that you're sharing together as a couple. I think that's really valuable too.
Well, we really are honored that you invited us to the show. And yes, we hope to see you all there at the Smithsonian on the 8th. It should be a really fun night, and stick around and maybe even, you know, go out on the town in D.C. and you can all join. So it'll be fun. Yeah, all of our social media is Honey, you know, at Honey Trek.
Yeah.
T-R-E-K.
Well, thanks, guys, very much. I look forward to seeing you. I'll be there on the 8th, and I know we'll get a nice crowd there. It'll be just a pleasure to see you guys face to face and learn of all these great resources that you're going to share. So thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks to all my guests today, all the help on the podcast and making me sound so much better. That is to say, not old, but better. Thanks to all.